I always tempted to speak in Chinese when I was speaking here. But that's all God's grace. And I put these slides first because sometimes it's not easy for me to finish the whole sermon, the burden I want to share. Sometimes in the past couple of times, left over the most important things. So I give my most objective or goals on this sermon I try to share with you. It's because last Wednesday, when a bunch of brothers and sisters, they are preparing for a gospel meeting. And I was so touched after the practice, they gather together in one room to pray. And I pray on the outside and really touched my heart. And then I keep searching, God, what kind of message I want to deliver today? And then this is the one still to evangelize the gospel. That's very important because the Great Commission, two main goals, main assignment God give to us. One is to preach gospel to all nations and then make disciples and to follow God's word, obey his word, to grow in his grace, in his words. So the two very big commission that God gave to us. And this, I want to see, in order to fully understand salvation and to know the Lord Jesus Christ, before we do anything, the most important thing as a Christian or even as a person was born in this world, is most important things to know who is the Creator. And then that's me, who are you? This is the person, the Paul, when he on the way to Damascus from Jerusalem. His heart so jealous, so eager, so eager to persecute those people who follow Jesus. At that time he think Jesus is not the Yahweh. And he wanted to persecute those people who follow him. And he on the way even go to the big city of today's Syria. And only by God's grace, he let himself reveal with this big great light on the Paul. Paul encounter, he know there's only the great light is only from the Yahweh, from the power beyond the nature. But he doesn't know who you are. He asked, who are you? As a Christian, we must always constantly ask one question. Ask God, who are you? Once we know who the God is, and then what is the relationship God wants us with him, change or affect or mold our life. That's very important things. We will talk more. And then, because we know who the guy is, we turn around, we can see us clear. Why? What is the purpose? What the mean? What the plan for us, each individual, in this life? From your youth or to adult, even when the time ends on this earth. It's very important, these two big factors. If we know who we really are, make a difference. One day when I was traveled with my wife to the Austria, the Emperor's Palace, I went into, because right now it's the tourists that can visit the throne room. When I enter into a throne room, I stand over there, for example, and watch throughout the window, that's a huge garden. King's Palace garden, so beautiful, so big. And I'm standing in the throne room. The king used to be sit over there. And when I think about it, how can I come into this room? to the king's room. If we know we are God's children, God promised, once we've been saved, we can always feel free to come to him, come in front of the throne of the glorious God. So once we know our identity, everything changes. We are not outsiders. We are not far, far away. We are not God's children. We are kings, prince, or princess. That makes a big difference. So to me, as a Christian, not a tiny person or can be ignored. No, we are the glorious position that we are in. So once we truly know that, make us different. Doesn't matter with our age. One of my counselor advisor in spiritual growth, that sister, she already passed away, went back to the Lord. She helped me a lot of a faith lesson. He was 10 years old. She already know that. When he sit over at the end of the whole getting room, he can touch. Her heart was being touched by God. 10 years old. So don't look down on you. Even 10 years old, as long as you are able to sit in this gathering, you are old enough to have a real, true connection with God. And then we must know, what did the Lord do? God revealed his purpose through the Bible, recorded in the Bible. This is the most treasures. Bible told us all of God's word is precious than the gold, pure gold. Precious than a pure gold. It's sweetest than any honey in this world. So the world will bring so many things to us. So we must know another point. And then we need to know what God wants us to do. These are third things. Not that important as the previous two, but also very important because Paul also asked Jesus, said, Lord, you want what you want me to do? And then change the whole life course of the Paul. Once we read all the Bible, New Testament, we know who the Paul is and what the Paul did. So that is very important. So we need to know, we need to seek to know what God wants us to do. So we sit here, maybe some years later, we lead the worship team, we're doing the missionary work or doing so many things. Even the care each other, even careness, a bunch of things. And then the other three points I want to get across in this sermon is seeking. To be a true and faithful Christian, we in our lifetime, we also constantly need to learn one thing, constantly seeking the burden of the preaching gospel, the spirit of evangelism. That's only target to the for the evangelism. But how to serve in the church, how to serve each other, the other aspect also need to seek what kind of burden God in this time of your life, what he wants you to do. The third thing is come from the preaching gospel perspective. We need to go, come to the throne to ask God for the sake of sinners. Come to God and pray. When we know a friend of us or a family of us, even my father or your mother is not a believer yet, or even your co-worker in your workplace, bring her in your heart to God. Pray for them. You will feel difference. In our heart, we bring out that person, unbeliever, to God. Constantly pray for them. You will see the different thing is the feedback, response from God. God will touch our heart, change a bunch of things will happen. So, very important, we need to experience that. Don't just put it aside. It's not that important thing. We just do certain tiny things. But the important thing is come. I put it, said, come. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. The third one is go. Because for the mercy of God, for the grace of God, for the salvation of God, so precious. That's why we must go. Some people have been touched. Go to your neighbor. Some people have been touched by God. Go to a far, far away place. God designated for us. And that's area. That's this period of time. God sent us to that. Every time when God activated, when God pushed us, when God lead us, we'll make certain things happen. So that's the most important thing. I tried objectives. I tried to accomplish or even reach in this sermon when I should finish it. 45? Okay. And the other one is I use a gold color to put it. This one is a prepared testimony, witnesses of Jesus Christ. We constantly prepare small testimony or our life experience or something, because in the Bible it encourages us. We need to use the old kind of wisdom and to witness Jesus, to preach the gospel. So this is the three, these are condition and objectives I try to finish. So I say first. Okay. Let's bow and pray. Lord, show us the grace and mercy. By your grace, you call us to be your chosen, to your true believer, to your disciples. You teach us, as you promised, the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth. Lord, in these few minutes, and maybe 30 minutes, you with us, you speak, Lord. Speak your words. You touch every heart in this room. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so very important things. This year, the theme is making disciples. So you are the disciples of Christ. We are. So when I preach, it's not just you. Include myself. It's we are the disciples of Christ. And then in the Bible has a certain area talk about servants of Christ. We are the servants of Christ. We are the servants of the gospel. We are the servants of his glorious church. So that's a Paul's word. But this one is a servants of Christ. I quote some verses here. And this one says, let a man so account of us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. This is the Paul. Encourage us. We must make known what is our true identity. We are the servants of Christ. That's very important. What are servants? Servant. Basically, a common word used in the New Testament, two Greek words. We can interpret it as, of course, slave. But I don't like, a lot of people don't like, oh, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. No. We put it this way. In Greek word, one interpret that way is under roller. You know, when we see the old movie, like a Ben Hur, anyone watched a Ben Hur before? Anyway, you know, the ancient time in Europe, in the big boat under the deck, there's a lot of people who row, right? And they have one people drag, beat the drum to synchronize, to control who should row at this time, or full speed or slow speed. Anyway, we are the person, it means we are on the deck and we keep rolling, those person. One other thing is he interpreted as a helper or attendance. That's what we can understand. We take an airline, we are flight attendant to serve us. So that's servants of Christ. That means serve the purpose of Christ and bring the need to those people being served. So in that aspect, we are a person was defined, assigned, appointed officer. Another means appointed officer. People like it. That means we are being appointed as his representative, bring the need to those people who really need it. That's a servant of the Christ and the servant of gospel is. So not just we must know we are the servant of Christ. Also, make those people, those unbelievers, we are true God's servant. Servant of Christ, servant of the gospel. Some people in this current time in America, those unbelievers, so many people has like an idea, try to squeeze Christianity away from our society. They try to maybe shame us or anything. And certain people in the workplace or anything, not easy to share the gospel. But Paul said, no matter in what situation, in history time, good time, bad time, we are the servants of Christ. It's so glorious, God's mission. No one can face God's power. People can change things. At the end, God always in control. So this is very important. I put it this, is Paul constantly encouraged us in different New Testament. He encouraged us. And this one, okay, we are follow. Jesus is a true one, and we are followers. We are a branch. I'm not talking about too much about that. John chapter 15, 1 to 8. I quote it here, but you look at that, and I explain a little bit there. With God's grace, he is not just a son. Okay, you are the servant of Christ. Do it. And that's it. And you need to figure out everything. If God doing that way, we are in trouble. We will be in trouble. But God always, once we are to be a Christian, the life of our growth in spiritually, God always said, his promise abide in us. He's a glorious God. But he allow us, he accept us to grow in him, to live with him, to have a close connection with him. That's what this verse said. He is a true one. We need to abide in him. And then he abide in us. Because of that kind of relationship, we can experience that true wisdom, true power. And then he will enable us whatever he wants us to do. So when we carry any ministry or ministry works in whatever area, or what type of the work, always the thing. If you have this with God, he provides what we need. When I was in the military, when I'm in charge of our unit, when the assignment come, it's a combat exercise plan arrive. When I receive it, we need to plan our way, our area, our plan. If we only receive assignment and never receive the supply and any support, we are in doom. We will be in trouble. Some way, God wants us to do, he always provides what we needed. So we just need to experience. Does God's servant always have this privilege to entitle, to receive his support and his guidance, always? That's why he's a disciple. And a God's servant also, one interpretation is God's apprentice, right? Apprentice, learner. Disciple, what a disciple means, constantly follow Jesus and learn from him. I really like the kids. And when I have three kids, I always like, they're following me all the time when they were young. And that's very nice, very, very good feeling. Our God, Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, always want us to follow him because he has so many things to teach us to give us wisdom. That's so precious life experience in our limited lifetimes. So don't lose sight of that. Actually, the most important thing in this world is to learn from God. To me, I'm a computer science major, and I spent about more than 40 years in the computer area after I graduate from college. I come here to study in a graduate school. Through all that study, but I can tell you one thing is, most important thing and most treasure things is to learn from God. Nothing can last forever. My computer science, computer technology always change. But God's wisdom can last forever and can change not just me, my family, and everything surrounding me. I'm a small person, not small. In figure speaking, I'm a small, affect only certain area in my lifetime compared to this huge world. But God has always have a purpose for us. And this one is, I think, when Han led us in worship, he quoted as Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3, Paul's verses. And then when Paul prayed, he kneeled down and prayed for us because he truly know that God's purpose on us. He kneeled down, not just pray for him, he prayed for us. Or pray for every generation God's children. But before that, in chapter 2, chapter 19, he said, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I just said the first portion is we need to know our identity and then what we are in the God's eye. God has a plan for each individual, completely plan. Just like, when I was young, when I got married at that time, long time ago, and to make a suit, right? I need to go to tailor. And he make it, just measure it, and make it for me. I always use it, yes. Okay. Usually you are the person I'm talking to. But anyway, I will go tell her, it's just make it personal, just for you. And different. Nowadays, you go to the Sears or go to the Macy's, or anywhere, you pick up one, pre-made, right? But God, amazingly, make every plan for each of us personally fit to everyone. Just for us, each individual. That's God's purpose. But second purpose, another person is very important. Even, I think, even more than the first one. Is he not just want to build us to be his masterpiece. Just like a Christopher. I want to be baptized, right? Next week. I will hug him as a brother in Christ now, next week. But you see, in God's precious, you are God's children now. And then he not just do the best for you in your lifetime. He also put everyone, every precious person in his eyes together to be what? To be his holy dwelling place. That's amazing. Every time I close my eyes to meditate that, that's the other even glorious purpose. So not just we to be his masterpiece, as a Christopher, as his masterpiece, as a Dan, as his masterpiece. All our masterpiece receive God's full attention, and then we're put together in the church, in gathered together, and he will dwell in us in spirit. Every time, this all overpower me. So that's what we really are. So I make a summarize a couple of points. Is we are not foreigners. We are the apples in God's eye. And then be on God's words. God's words is most important. And then he teaches very well. The most important is God's word is our foundation. Everything built on it. Not just that. God is the first or most important cornerstone. Everything lined up together. And then the whole building come up nicely. When I was in the military, that's different. When a couple thousand people together, each small unit, you line up so together, and then first one, always a one point for everyone to line up, follow that. And you will see different. If you don't have a first cornerstone or a guidepost for every each other to line up, that will make a difference. So cornerstone, spiritually, he wants to build us together, and he is a guidance. He's a planner. So, and we're building out together as a temple of Christ. That's what we say already. So that's really how true we are and what the purpose in God's eye for us. So we must know before we go out to do God's work, even in the church or outside of church. And this chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 13. It, the 13 verses is when God, when Paul explains God's purpose to us, he will build us each individually. Also, will build us together. God will be dwelling in us. And then, suppose for this reason, he can directly go to the verse 14 as a hand. He read it for us. Paul's prayer for us, for the generations. But before that, he insert in these 13 verses. For what? Also for this reason. For we ask God's dwelling place, build us together. For this reason, Paul is the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul as a servant of Christ for the sake of Gentiles, all nations. So we sit here, sometimes our Chinese or Chinese ABCs intended to just focus on us, not me, Chinese, I'm a Chinese from Taiwan. But God, no. God said it's for the all nations. We need to break our comfort zone. The Chinese circle go beyond outside. You know, in America, it's different. You go outside of the church door, you will see all type of different person. Every time in my heart, so touched, every time I come to a church from New Jersey, every bus, every station, subway system, so many, so different type of people living around this world. Everyone need gospel. But so when we go out, it's different. Long time ago, we need to travel long, far, far away to Melbourne, to Indonesia, to a bunch of countries I visited before. But now, in New York, it's very special. Oh, God, bring the old people from all nations come to this area. That's the area we need to outreach them. Put it this way. So Paul said, I'm a slave of Christ. For what? For bringing his salvation to all nations, all Gentiles. We are belong to this category of Gentiles compared to a Jewish people. God's salvation through Jewish people and reach the all Gentiles. We are the servants of this gospel too. Not just give it to Paul. Give it to every people who receive God's life, who receive the salvation. We receive this commission too. So Paul, identity, he wanted to tell us, this is a very important thing. I jump to the verse 6. This mystery is through the gospel. The Gentiles are held together with the Israel and members together in one body to share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So, not just Mandarin speaking Chinese in downstairs, Mandarin ABC or not, or I cannot say ABC, English congregation. If I say ABC, so narrow it, but to this one is. He built us together to be his dwelling place, but we must constantly have our one idea. God wants to bring all type of his person he created. Every life in this world is created by him. He is a real owner, true owner. He has a true ownership of every people. Everyone needs the gospel. But sometimes God gives us capacity. Once we can reach, we bring those people we can reach. We spread gospel to them. That's our duty. That's what God wants us to do. So I become a servant of this gospel. You become a servant of this gospel. So Christopher, I can honestly say, from next week, you are a servant of this gospel. Is that okay? Right? Yes. Because God's promise, you will receive his holy everlasting life. And from that point on, you are also entitled to be his heir, to be his chosen, to be his prince of his kingdom. And then also carry his duty, spread his gospel, and grow in his life. So that's very important. And then that's a gift God gave to us. No matter how young you are, we all will grow old anyway. Sometimes we'll grow to different area in our professional work. But that's not important. No matter which position we are stand on, when we have a life to live on that area, we have a responsibility to grow the effectiveness of our life. Sometimes people keep busy, don't know what truly purpose of life. Looking for position, looking for making money, they're all temporary, okay? In time, only 15 minutes. But when you go home, read this chapter 3, verse 1 to 13, through again. But at the end, that's your glory. I put it in one word. God said, you receive this gift. You receive this commission. That's your glory. That's basically what Paul wants to say. To be as a servant of Christ, to be as a servant of his gospel, is your great honor. Otherwise, you come on to this earth. This year, I'm 17. Next year, I'm 20. Year after year, now I'm 61. Maybe some other days, I say, bye-bye. You cannot find me anymore in this world sometime. But once you know you are the Christ, the servant of Christ, from today on, totally different because that's your glorious job, glorious title. You are the Christ. You are the servant of Christ. You will say, you are. In America, I like it. in Taiwan, every time teacher say, any question, or I give you assignment, need to be a chief of this class. No, we need to jump like in America kids, always like, yes, you are a servant of Christ. Yes. That's so glory. That's what Paul wants to say. I put it this way. And then, okay, in the next 10 minutes, I try to use this picture to get across certain things. There's a verse. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. This one, I use this picture. When we're doing the carrying our preaching gospel, this task, basically we have many steps. To those people not believer yet, we will face those people really against the gospel, salvation. Some people show not that interested. Some people say, okay, I don't mind, you say, I listen, okay. Some people even show interested. You will see certain people in their lifetime or certain situation really try to find the true meaning on his life. Sometimes in our lifetime, in certain point in time, yeah, that's a very critical time for them. If God lead us, those people show interested, that's very important. In this area, if the before I explain this one is teach us how to deal with the different type of unbeliever. If you're totally against us, we don't have to preach much words because they are not pay attention. But they do look how you behave. They do observe what kind of things you show on you after you believe in Jesus. They want to find out what a benefit from you to believe a Jesus or to become a true believer. They're against it. But in their heart, deep down in their heart, they want to see what is the difference. If you present it, oh my goodness, this person is a true believer. The way he deals with people, the way he dealing with his professional work or anything. They are constantly doing a comparison. So don't lose sight of that. Those people against us, sometimes emotionally we got hurt, but that's not important thing. The important thing is one step aside from God's perspective to look into it. Sometimes when you spread the gospel, certain people are so uptight, they even just look down on you. Don't be offended. You look at them. Sometimes those people, in deep down in their life, they are poor. Doesn't have any happiness in their life. They really need gospel. They really need God's salvation. They don't know that. They think they're proud of the money in their pocket. And they think their position, they are so high. And then that's it. Nothing. Actually, those people really need God. So, but what I'm trying to say, to deal with these people, you preach gospel. They don't listen. So it's fine. Continue to show the way, the walk in Christ. They know that. They watch that. Oh, Mike, sorry. But when the people, these kind of people, show really interest what the gospel is, and then we really need to preach, tell them what the true meaning of the gospel, what did Jesus do, what the purpose of Jesus come down on this world, why he died for us, what does salvation mean to him, and we can explain more preaching gospel to him. But once you accept the law, to be a Christian, to be a disciple. And from this on, also about process. That's our lifetime process. Salvation, we accept it. This at one point in time happened. But the whole lifetime we are in this process. God will carry us or teach us, train us in this process. To this area, that's me, we are committed to serve Him. We truly know Him. Our life enriched by Him. And then, that's God want us to be as His character, show His great all the time. And then to this one, share gospel of influence of people with Christ's life, and then to serve, and then even go out to preach, to be a missionary. In this world, God may not call you to be a missionary, but send, that means if you go out to workplace, our mission, God send us to preach the gospel. Okay, that's always like this one, like this. So we are in this process. I hope certain young people are not baptized yet, but are in the process. So we are all in this process. So what I'm trying, this message is, okay, only 5 minutes. I only use a point. We have some obstacles, yes, because of my personality, I was shy too. When the first time, a long time ago, when I got baptized the next year, I tried go to knock the people who graduate from the graduate school and come to our area to work that is not believer. We know the person, I visit his name, his apartment. The first time I knocked the stranger's house, I cannot be a salesman. I'm very poor oh my goodness. Every time I go, hesitate. And three times. Finally, I knock his door. And he opened the door. I passed a track to him, try to invite him to the church. And he looked at that. And then slam the door. I said, oops, okay. And Lord, I don't want to do it anymore. It's tough. I'm the person, really feel rejection. Oh my goodness. Every time people reject me, I will feel a red in my face and agitate in my heart. But amazingly, 2 days later, I can't sleep. Continue to doing the things. God will encourage you, constrain us because He loves, so we can reach. Amazingly, that person reject. And then the first time, and then a couple of months later, come to our church. Then he went to the gospel camp, and he still reject. But second year, and he was a Christian now. 2 years later, he's a very good co-worker with me. We do a lot of things for many years. But anyway, so we have one thing is afraid of not explaining well. I don't have a good talent explain things well. I also have this kind of fear. And they beg. Eagerness. Some people has eagerness. My goodness, come to you. You need to believe Jesus. You need to believe Jesus. And these people, man, just try to shove everything into your mouth. Certain people preach the gospel that way. Oh my goodness. So that's also our difficulties. Okay. And this one, preach it in mind. I confess a couple of times to the Lord. I said, God touched us, cutting my heart, said, share gospel to this person. And I said, Lord, this person is so not nice. It's not good to bring the church. Church is supposed to have good people. I don't want to bring. And God, after that, I confess. No, it's not based on my standard. Based on His grace. Because a sinner, He come to looking for sinner. He come to looking for the person who has a disease He want to heal. People have a need. He's a so poor, so wild, so uncontrollable person. But He really needed salvation. God wanted Him to do it. A couple of things. I have a mind, a prejudice. I look on Him. God deal with me a couple of times. So those are all our difficulties. I can only bring some of them. Okay? All right. Only 2 minutes, I want to conclude that. We can experience a lot of difficulty when we preach the gospel. We can see different type of person. If we don't go out to preach gospel. When I was in the first church, I did the gospel ministry group. I do encourage people, brothers, to go out. Go to the street to talk to strangers. It's not the most effective way, but it's the most, to me, I feel it's the most very effective way for us to experience what is the weight of the preaching gospel in our heart. When I go out the street, I pass the street to people. Certain people, you can see different type of face. Some people look down on him. Some people go out, even pass. I come back to ask, what do you say about it? I say, gospel. They take it. Some people take one and throw it away. I encounter one person. In America, it's good. It's good. Because when I first time, one tall elder man, at that time I was 30-some years old, that person, about 60 years old Chinese man, taller than me. And then when I passed the track to him, he looked up. I don't know why he reacted that way. He got angry and then started, and then my face. I was trying to ask like people. First time I said, okay, in my heart. But second thought, okay, you hit. And then that person asked, okay, he went away. And he grabbed her. I said, before I said, don't crumple my, you don't want it, you get back to me. But, at that time, it's my life, one experience, deep down in my heart. And one, the other one, also, I've shared this one, and now we have finished this sermon. One day, one lady, Chinese lady, he come to our church. I was so happy. I was a reception. I come to invite, receive him. And then in her hand has a strap I designed. And I have our brother and sister, all that group, go out to hand out. And then I said, will you get this? He said, I went to the supermarket. And then in the car, someone left one there. Amazing. You know, don't see, those people don't know how precious that gospel is. But some people throw it away. And some people take it from the car. People don't want it. And then she got a salvation a couple weeks later. Amazing things is, his family, his mother-in-law, her mother-in-law, came to visit them at that time. After we know this lady, this sister, after that she to be a sister, we visit that family. That family already have a plan to visit D.C., to visit area, because her mother-in-law come to visit them, so they need to show tour to show them visit different places. And then they politely say, we have a plan. We cannot go to the gospel camp. Second week, when I'm in a prayer meeting, I always go to prayer meeting 2 hours before the prayer meeting begin. I sit there, pray, sing songs, and read a Bible. And when God touched my heart, I went to visit the brother or sister or God touched me to reach a certain a gospel friend. I reached them. But that time, it's God, second time, God touched my heart. Go to reach them again. I said, God, last week, I reached them already. And then, okay, I found an excuse. I found a book as a gift to knock his door and then pass the book as a gift to them. After that, I don't know how to say it. No word to say anymore. And they said, still, so we still want to go to the division. And then, okay, the trouble is, that third week, God continued to touch you. I was sitting there, I saw hesitate door two times. They already planned well enough. They already booked the hotel, everything is no good to come. What can I say? I continued to struggle with God for 30 minutes. At the end, I said, okay, all right, Lord, okay, go, I go. Oh, God, so I reached them again. I don't know how to stay. They also were very polite. Invite me in, have a cup of tea. At the end, nothing changed. So I had trouble. Amazing thing. That night, her mother-in-law, in a dream, and then changed mind. She told her son, that sister's husband, said, we don't go. We don't want to go. I don't want to go. That DC, let's go to the church and go to the gospel camp. You know, the power of God changed people's mind. It's not we change people's mind. That's very important. Okay, I'm going to finish it. One time, in my first church, I also accompanied with an English group, young people, a teenager, and then college, and then high school. We went out to one street. Most of our Indian people continued to move to that area. And then we just spread the gospel tract to them. And then one brother like him, and we are one group. And then we just, every time young people pass by, and he tagged my cross. Uncle, does this one need it? I said, no. You pray. If God touch you, you just go. And then you hand it up. Amazingly, Indian people, young people come to visit church. And then, when God touch you, go, because you are the servants of God. When God say it, servants go. I say it again. We are the servant of God. We are the disciple of God. When the Lord touch our heart, go to do things. Don't have to wait for the pastor. Or sometimes talk to the pastor about it. That's fine. The true burden, when God asks you to do, you follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Follow the burden to do even the small things. With God's grace, He will let you know what He has done. And then your faith will be encouraged. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We don't know what we deserve. You give us that kind of glorious position, glorious assignment. But we do know, through everything, through every your wisdom, you want to grow us. You want to benefit us. You want to make us to be your masterpiece. Lord, we pray to you. We pray you give every brother and sister, everyone sit in this room to be your servants, to be your witness of your gospel, to spread, to share your life to the people we can reach. We give thanks to you. Lord, we pray, continue to bless this congregation, bless our church, bless everything we are doing in the church, in our school, in our workplaces. We give thanks to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.